When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now on The Fan in New York, my guy from The Athletic, covering your New York Jets, it's Zach Rosenblatt. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for taking the time out, bro. I was going back to a few days ago when we had you on, and you know, I always say, you don't owe me any of your time. I appreciate anyone that joins me. And when you had the bail last minute, I laughed and I came on air and I said, oh, something's cooking up. Something's happening, because when this goes on, we're going to get an Athletic article with some, you know, things that you need to know. So we'll start there, man. I hate when I see people online try to assume, right, that you guys are trying to do a smear campaign, that you guys are doing some type of crooked journalism. Like, you have nothing to gain from that in writing these stories about the Jets. So tell us how this one came about. You know, you and Diana, how you kind of got to this point of working on this one, where it came from. Like, give us the background so people can just understand, like, this is your job and these stories are real. And honestly, they're more entertaining than the Jets are.
Yeah, you know, We've developed a reputation for writing these stories now, so I think people think we're going out of our way to do them and, you know, paint the Jets in a certain light. But frankly, the Jets do it to themselves. And, you know, over time you hear things, and that's kind of how each time we write one of these stories. And, you know, over time you hear things, you take notes, you get it in your notebook, and there's some things you hear it from one person, you can't run with it yet. And so you work to get more sources on it. And then as you're building that, then you hear other stuff and you start, you know, branching out from there. And all of a sudden you have a story about an owner that I think has done a lot of things that a lot of people around here have suspected for a long time. He meddles. And, you know, what we had is, you know, I think there's an assumption when these stories come out that it's all bitter former employees. Like, we don't just talk to people who just got fired and then run with things. That's just not how it works. Like, if anyone actually read the article, they would see that there's a bunch of people quoted in there that are currently employed by the team. We talked to the Jets. We ran a lot of things by them, and their PR person went on the record. So, you know, I mean, this goes without saying. I think, you know, I stand by our reporting 100%, obviously, and everything in it.
I appreciate it. It's well done. I saw Woody declined to comment, and of course, why would he? The funniest thing that came out of the article was me visualizing his son, Brick Johnson, coming into the locker room and kind of jumping the gun and giving a game ball to Garrett Wilson. Like, in no way should that ever go on. But it's funny, because a few weeks back, I think we got from Reddit and just some other things online that, like, hey, you know, Woody's listening to his kids. Hey, more than you think, like, Brick Johnson and Jack Johnson have a say in this thing. And then you hear about the Madden ratings. Then you hear about this story. And it's like, okay, like, there might be some actual truth to teenagers running the organization. And then there was a quote from Joe Douglas about, I answered to a teenager. Like, what can you say about the heirs to the throne? What can you say about Woody Johnson and how much you've learned about how much he lets his family just kind of play with the Jets like a toy?
Yeah, you know, I think that, and, you know, a lot of people have been like, so has he always ran the organization like this? Like, why are they successful, you know, at the beginning of the decade, beginning of the 2000s, I should say. And, you know, his kids were, I think, 11 and 9 years old when he left for London. And by the time they came back, they were teenagers. And, you know, I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're running things necessarily, but I do think that Woody takes their opinions under advisement, and he gives those opinions to his staff. And that's what was relayed to us by people in the building. And, you know, the Madden thing, you know, we reported in our story in January that Woody sends tweets to Robert Saleh and other people on, you know, Joe Douglas, people that make decisions, and he'd send tweets or screenshots and he'd refer to them and wonder why the Jets weren't doing certain things that people were suggesting. And that's been a thing that's been going on for a few years now. And I think the assumption was always that Woody is not himself scrolling through Twitter, and he has two teenage sons who are on social media and they're reading articles and things like that. So I think Woody and this organization in general, as long, you know, I mean, you know how it is around the Jets. They're always the off-season champions. They like to win the headlines, and they also very much pay attention to the headlines. Like, that goes hand in hand. And so Woody wants to win the headlines, and he wants to see what people are saying about his organization. And over time, you know, I think you can't blame a guy. This is his business. This is his family. Like, you can't blame him for involving his family in the operation, especially if he wants them to take over eventually. But it's obviously just gotten a little too out of hand.
Yeah, and I mean, the jokes write themselves. They're being made fun of on Jeopardy. I saw a picture of Brick Johnson with a phone in the draft room on Twitter, and people are like, you know, this should have sent us into high alert. We should have known. You know, I think that this is going to be a thank me later kind of thing with you and Diana. I think that when the Jets do come out of this, when they do hire the right GM, they do hire the right coach, they do figure some things out, maybe end this playoff drought, we're going to look back on these exposés. We're going to look back on these things that we learned, and people are going to say, hey, thanks for doing your job and digging and finding this information. So let's talk about that next, right? That's actual news that the 33rd team has been hired, and I've been saying that now their reputation is on the line. It isn't just Woody. So that's a good step, Woody, right? Hiring some people that know what they're doing and saying, hey, I can't do this myself. Help me pick. And they've already interviewed a handful of candidates. Do you have any insight into the people that they've talked to, what they're specifically looking for in the next GM?
Yeah, you know, what I've been saying, honestly, for months at this point, because the season, I mean, Robert Saleh was fired a couple months ago now, which seems crazy. It seems like a lifetime ago. But what I've been saying throughout that process is that, you know, there's a history of owners, and I use James Dolan's the easiest example of owners who have meddled or have been labeled one of the worst owners in sports or in their league. And then they hire somebody really smart, they let them run things, and then all of a sudden you don't hear about the owner anymore. So, you know, I think this GM hire is absolutely crucial, but even more crucial is Woody. You know, I'm not saying he doesn't need to be involved. Like, again, this is his business. He should be involved. But I think he needs to hire somebody that can run things, is capable of, you know, standing up to him, or he's capable of pushing back on his opinions or whatever it is. Like, I don't know if that necessarily needs to be an experienced person or what it is. But I do think that this is an appealing job if Woody's willing to take a step back. They have a lot of talent. I think this is a city that, if you can build the Jets into a winner, you're gonna be, you know, feted as a hero around here. So I do think there's interest in this job. They can't interview anyone on other teams yet. I think they are looking for somebody with, you know, that has been in a football operation, that has some, whether it's scouting background, pro personnel background, league background. I think they want someone with notable experience, maybe not like a very young candidate, but I think they're definitely open to all comers. They're going to interview a lot of people, I think, and the process is just getting started.
Yeah, I think we heard a bunch of names from John Robinson to Louis Riddick, Thomas Nagy. I'm blanking on the names.
Jim Nagy and Nagy. Thomas Dimitroff are the other ones.
Yeah, Thomas Dimitroff. These are all guys that have done it before, and I think they're collecting data. They're getting intel from all these guys. Everybody that they talk to, they'll kind of figure out where they want to go. I thought that they should have brought in Bill Belichick at least for a conversation, at least for an interview. I understand, you know, he's been very vocal about Woody Johnson. I understand he said some things. I understand he left them at the altar so many moons ago, but he's on his last leg, so much so that he took a job at UNC. You know, any information on why they didn't bring Bill Belichick in? I think a great way to stick it to the guy would have been to interview him, string him along, and then be like, nah, we're going with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I actually thought it would have been funny if he fully got a back payback for the I resigned as head coach by acting like he was going to hire Bill, and then at the last second being like, actually, I changed my mind. Never mind. but you know, as for that stuff, like, I don't think it was so much that they weren't willing to talk to him. I think what happened was is Bill put out his feelers. The Jets, they were willing to listen. I think they were even in the process of maybe trying to get something set up down the line, but Bill kind of needed to know quick. Like, he wanted to know, like, right now, because if I don't know that I for sure have a chance at this job or that I'm for sure getting this job, then I'm going to miss out on this UNC thing. And so I think he just decided he was going to go to UNC. He clearly wasn't getting interest elsewhere. I don't think it would have happened here, probably wouldn't have worked here. But yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like, you absolutely cannot get hurt by bringing in somebody like that at the very least and talking to them and picking their brain a little bit. It was pretty shocking when that came across, though, for sure, like, especially considering just how much he's been trashing this organization over the last 6 months.
Yeah, college football is closer than ever to professional football now with NIL and the transfer portal. I was just watching pregame there talking about how the SMU backup quarterback entered the transfer portal and is skipping the college football playoff. Same thing with the Penn State backup quarterback. I'm like, that hurts the team. What if the quarterback goes down play one and you got to throw in, I don't know, like a redshirt freshman? It's crazy also to see a Bill Belichick go to UNC. You know, like Michael Vick just got hired by Norfolk State. You got Deion Sanders at Colorado. You now need a flashy big name to coach in college to attract these kids, one, in the transfer portal and to sign with NIL, get money from boosters. Like, that is the game. So my next question is about Mike Vrabel. I think a lot of signs point to him potentially being the next Jets coach. There's some rumors about him maybe even taking over for Jerod Mayo, one and done up there. But I think there's some real interest in him being in Cleveland with the Browns and taking over for Ryan Day as the next coach at Ohio State. What do you think about Vrabel being the next coach of the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is and should be their number one target. I think he's everything they need, both in terms of he's, you know, the cliche leader of men. He's going to walk in that room and command respect. He's a guy who fought his way to the NFL. He fought his way onto the roster. He played a long time in the NFL, was considered a real badass player. And then he immediately went into coaching and he worked his way up the ladder and he developed a reputation. And then when he got hired by the Titans were almost never the most talented team. They often were just out hustling, out working. They were out toughing their opponents and they were always really prepared. And Mike Vrabel is very good at the late game situations and game management situations. They were always really, really good at that stuff. So I think he fits exactly what they need, but yeah, to kind of your point, I mean, everybody's going to want Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to be the top candidate on all these jobs. I think ultimately the Jets need to make the case that we are the best job available. But for someone like Mike, who's from Ohio, he's a legend at Ohio State. Like, I imagine he'll at least listen. I don't know that for sure. But I think if Ohio State fires Ryan Day, I think Mike Vrabel will probably be one of, if not their top targets. And he'll at least listen, because if he went back there, he'd be a god. Like, he already is. He's in Ohio right now. And if you go around Ohio, which I have within the last few months, for work reasons, like, then you hear these people talking about him, like, man, I wish he was our head coach, like the Browns. So I think that would be a hard thing for him to turn down. I don't know that necessarily that he wants to leave the NFL and coach in college, but I think it would be hard for him not to at least listen.
Yeah. We're on the phone right now with Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. A couple more for you. You know, talking about coaching, you know, I looked at the spread of this game coming up this weekend as the Los Angeles Rams come across the country, a team that plays indoors, right? Oh. They're going to be out here in the cold playing against the Jets. They're 3-point favorites, which made me think, and you know, my analyzing, I'm like, okay, they're just going to win by a field goal, or it's going to be a close, high-scoring game. I think the over-under is like 46, 47 points. And I always come back to, they have a head coach that's won a Super Bowl, been to two Super Bowls, and always does more with less versus the Jets, who, like, they don't have the coaching. Jeff Ulbrich was thrown into a tough spot. These guys are figuring it out every week, and really, it's you know, Aaron Rodgers going out there with Devontae Adams, not really much of a run game. See what they could do, and hopefully the defense can hold. But like, if Mac Jones and the Jaguars can put up 30 points on them, what are you expecting to see out of the Rams? What do you think we can expect to see out of this game coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the reasons for optimism would be the Jets. You know, it's the cross-country flight. It's the cold weather game against the warm weather team. And it's Aaron Rodgers playing his best football of the season. Like, those are three things you can point to as like, all right, if you want to say we have a shot, those are the things. But outside of that, like, you know, the Rams have something to play for. The Rams are a really talented team. The Jets could be without Quinnen Williams. He hasn't practiced all week, and their defense has already been bad, even with Quinnen lately. And Quinnen, in the past, when he hasn't been in the game, it's been a disaster. So, and I don't think their defensive line has great depth. So if you don't have Quinnen Williams out there, and you know, the Rams have Kieran Williams, they have Cooper Kupp, they have Puka Nacua, and the Jets have been unable to tackle, and they've been inconsistent in coverage and things like that. So I wouldn't be optimistic they'd be able to stop Matt Stafford. If anything was going to be able to help them do that, it would be the weather. And, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, shocking if they got a win. The Jets every year have a couple wins where you're like, they should not have won that game. And they have a couple losses where you're like, they definitely shouldn't have lost that. And so I could see a win coming. I just would be surprised.
Yeah, they're due for another like Houston Texans win at home. Last thing for you. Have you been able to watch Enigma on Netflix, Aaron Rodgers' new documentary?
I have not yet. I was saving it to watch with some family over the holidays.
Okay, good. I've watched the first two episodes, and it has changed my opinion on the guy, but it's well-timed. That's what it's supposed to do, right? Like, they're putting this out right now for you to see all these different things about him, and it honestly changed my opinion about whether he should come back or not. Even as recent as Monday.
Are you going to do some ayahuasca before your next show or what?
That's too much for me. I can barely drink anymore now. I'm washed. To think about this dude at 40 going to do the ayahuasca, I'm like, yo, he's
and talking
out there.
About, I saw the clip of him talking about caterpillars becoming butterflies or something like that. Yeah,
he was tweaking. Him and Jordan Poyer were out there hitting drums and drinking stuff out of cups and like inhaling smoke. You got to watch it. It is absolutely nuts. But like, I feel like he needed to show us that because so many people are like, ayahuasca? He's going to Colombia. He's going to, you know, all these different places. Egypt, like what? Darkness retreat? But why I say it's changed my opinion, I just actually started thinking about, you know, a couple things. It gave you a look at Aaron Rodgers and why he is the way he is, why he's so smug, why he's so condescending. I mean, the guy was an undersized quarterback coming out of high school that went to a community college and became, and he still got that chip on his shoulder. You know, I don't think he wants to go out like this. He's been vocal about living in New Jersey and redoing his house and wanting to stay. Devontae Adams is now here, and it's been a few weeks, and they're actually clicking. I just think about the Jets next year with an actual coach, an actual coaching staff, a new GM that can draft and maybe bring in some free agents and some other pieces, and Aaron Rodgers getting another chance. I know it sounds crazy, but I think he deserves another chance, and I think the Jets are going to weigh all things and say, what are we going with Tyrod Taylor? We're going to try and make Jordan Travis ready? We're going to draft Jalen Milroe? No, you're going to take the Hall of Fame quarterback, and I think the whole league is looking at this Hall of Fame quarterback and how he's treated and how he goes out, and I think they're going to try and run it back next year with the goal being to just end the playoff drought and stop thinking Super Bowl is realistic and just win enough games to get to the playoffs. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers coming back next year?
You know, I'm not ready to completely rule it out. I think, you know, just based on everything that we've reported, that Aaron Rodgers has said, things like that, his relationship with Woody, I think, has deteriorated quite a bit. Like, those would be the reasons why I could see him not wanting to come back. But I think it's ultimately too early for any of these guys because it really comes down to who the coach is and who the GM is, especially for Aaron Rodgers, because it's going to be a two-way street. It's going to be, does this GM or head coach want Aaron Rodgers, and does Aaron Rodgers want this GM or head coach? Because I think it is definitely like has to be a mutual relationship because Aaron, you know, as much as he's definitely the best quarterback they've had here in a while, especially when he's playing like this, he comes with baggage and he comes with, you know, you have to run my offense and all that stuff. So I think there's a lot of factors at play here. I am curious. I think Vrabel and Rodgers would be an interesting marriage for a year because then they could be pretty competitive next year, and that I would have my eye on that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good read. I lean towards him not coming back, but I'm not ready to say like he's definitely not coming back.
Zach, you're the man. Happy holidays. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, have a good holiday, brother.